the procurement professionals of tomorrow, what kind of skill set do they actually need, and how do we get them from being a category manager to a relationship manager and great supplier manager in the future, right? Using all kinds of technology as well, but on the same time, not forgetting about relationship. Those are the kind of things that we are seeing and what is also driving the future of procurement.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business Operation. My name is Sagi. I'm the CEO and founder of Tonkin. And today I have the pleasure of hosting Lutz. You're in Germany right now. I'm in the US. Thank you for joining and talking to me today. Lutz is a leader in source to pay and transformation in IBM for their procurement BPO arm. I would like to explain the role. And I think, you know, it's fascinating, the combination of it, but maybe we'll start there. Maybe if you don't mind, share a little bit about what you do right now. How did you get there and a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. Hey, Sagi, and good to be with you today and getting the chance to also share a little bit of my story as well. But you're right, right? When it comes even to my current position, it's not always as easy to explain, right? But as you already said, I'm extremely active in IBM's BPO business in the procurement space. So basically currently leading the S2P offering, so the source to pay offering within our practice, but also having a transformation role at the same time too, which specifically is concentrating on strategic sourcing and sustainability, because we also believe that strategic sourcing and sustainability belong to each other as well, right? Specifically after you having collected all those data, it's extremely important to find a way what to do with this data, right? So getting from ambition actually to action. And that's where we believe exactly strategic sourcing and sustainability come together, right? I started out joining IBM basically right after college, after I got my law degree. So I'm actually have a law background from an education perspective, but then said, okay, don't want to be a lawyer, don't want to be a judge. There are better people to do that. Right. But I said, okay, I want to do something with my education as well. And best alternative that I could find was procurement. And basically in that sense, I basically found procurement, not the other way around. You have a lot of people basically saying, oh yeah, procurement found me. For me, it's I found procurement, right? And I have been happy with that finding ever since and joined IBM, got the chance to learn from a lot of great people within the IBM procurement organization, but then also quite quickly realized that IBM already has done quite a lot when it comes to its own procurement organization. We went through a lot of transformations over the years, as you could imagine, a company that's more than 100 years old. Right? And then I quite quickly said, okay, is there something else? More challenges and more problems to solve. And that's when I discovered that IBM is also one of the largest procurement BPO providers as well. And so I joined that division and moved or basically developed in that organization from a tactical buyer to a strategic buyer to a category manager, then moved more into account management, and later on then also took over more responsibility within the delivery organization on an EMEA level and then now on a global level as well. And that's basically my career so far. And let's see where it further takes me.
Yeah, no, this is great. You're right, though, just on your point around finding procurement versus being found. You know, we hear that a lot. People stumble into this area. I want to kind of follow up with a couple of questions. You mentioned something true. This, you know, big companies have been, you know, like IBM, they've been here for a while, had a lot of the way that they do from supply chain to internal processes to, you know, a bunch of different things figured out or at least thought through, right? But I wonder, when you think about transformation as a whole and, you know, when you think about technology, when you think about, you know, in your BPO roles later, when you work with other firms and other companies, you know, that are using your guys' services. How did you meet the entire noise in the market or the, what I feel, and maybe for folks that are not familiar with the space, definitely the procurement space have been boiling hot in the last few years compared to, you know, to 5 years prior, if you will.
100% agree. I mean, it feels like almost prior to the last 2 years or 3 years, I would say, it almost feels like that procurement was asleep. I mean, I'm overstating it a little bit, and sorry to all of the procurement professionals listening in. And as I said, a little bit provocative. But then when you look at the last 2 to 3 years, right, all of a sudden, we're seeing so many great startups being founded, right? And this is probably because a lot of people then already realize, hey, there's so much to do within procurement, so much that needs to change, and change also not only driven by technology. And technology, of course, is currently a gigantic driver, but also driven by topics like sustainability or risk management or latest topics like inflation and rising costs and all those things, right? And all of a sudden, the whole value proposition goes also beyond just cost savings as such, right? But procurement really becoming an essential part of the business of a company, right? Because it's influencing a lot of different parts of it. And I guess a lot of companies are just realizing that, which is great to see, right? But then also you have a lot of startups that are being founded to finding solution to different topics as well. For example, hey, how can procurement be more user-friendly for stakeholders and so on, right? You're driving more user acceptance or stakeholder acceptance through that one. How can this be done? And how do systems better speak with each other and things like that, right? And this is extremely exciting. And I think we didn't hit the peak yet, by far not, right? There will be more to come, specifically in the next couple of years, being driven by topics like generative AI and procurement, right? I know one of the big buzzwords right now, and it's always a challenge for itself, right, to bring it to companies and as it continues still developing. But then also, from my perspective, major topics that come up like intake or orchestration and things, right?
Absolutely. I have a lot of questions to put up from there. But maybe the first one is, why do you think so? Like, why do you think that happens now? Where do you think, I have my guess, but I'm wondering, like, where do you think the catalyst for the last few years was?
So, interesting. I believe a lot also comes from the pandemic itself, right? Because companies all of a sudden were put, and people were all of a sudden in a very short amount of time being put in a totally different situation, right? Totally different challenges. And I always think that people don't change because they want to change, right? They quite often change because they have to change, right? And in this case, I mean, it has been one of the biggest change drivers for the whole society. It didn't stop for procurement, but even further accelerated for procurement, because all of a sudden, every part of the company was looking at the procurement and supply chain department, right? How can you help me in that challenge, drive further success even, or just maneuver me through that pandemic and the challenge that we're currently facing? And I guess that was definitely one of the biggest catalysts for the developments that we're currently seeing. And it's further accelerating, right? Just when you think about it, then new developments that came up just in November 2022, right? All of a sudden, OpenAI first publishing ChatGPT, right? And what did this all mean for for all of the parts of business, but also for procurement, right? All of a sudden, you kind of could think of many different use cases in procurement and so on, which is exciting and continuous, as we all see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the one thing I would add to it, you know, you manage, and this is, I've heard this a lot from, you know, previous conversation with procurement leaders, that desire or almost like goal to be more than cutting cost function and more strategic function. But the funny thing to me though is when, as a business leader myself, right, with having a company spend, just the concept of it, it got a lot more spotlight to private companies and obviously to public companies. You know, there always was a spotlight, but even further, when money becomes so expensive, then controlling that spend, reducing the cost, managing more of that spend, you know, kind of touching on the intake and orchestration, which I want to hear your thoughts about in a second as well, that you mentioned. But in general, to me, there's both the opportunity for procurement to be more strategic, but also it's like up-leveling the boring, quote unquote, cutting costs to actually, it is not boring. This is, you know, you can cut 10%. That's amazing. Like that step that, you know, that is actual significant thing that changed the numbers for me. So I think that by itself, you know, added to the priority. At the end of the day, people don't change only if they have to, like you said. And then even there, there's different levels of importance.
Yeah, the public.
Right?
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, it also became survival level for many organizations, which I think also kind of brought the entire industry with it, even for companies that doesn't, you know, necessarily are in that bucket. But let me ask, go back to kind of some of that experience. So first, I want to ask kind of like how this connects to your experience in IBM, both from like looking at what IBM is doing as a big organization, but also comparing it, right? For example, for people that don't fully know what BPO means, you end up working with a lot of different companies, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, from the roles, as you mentioned them, I assume also in a more strategic capacity, like trying to help them think through the strategy of how to source vendors and how to, you know, blend their projects. What do you see there? Like what's common, what's shared, what's completely new, especially, you know, with the changes to processes and to technology or just even to the priority that people put around that.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin's process experience platform seamlessly wraps around existing policies and systems, allowing internal service teams to do more with what they already have. Build process experiences that are personalized for each requester and use AI to automate the intake, triage, and resolution of every request. Maximize adoption, compliance, and efficiency with no change management and no code.
Many different layers, but maybe let me start a little bit on the point of what is actually BPO in that sense and does IBM fit into that one. So kind of IBM, as I already mentioned in the very beginning, right? We went through a lot of procurement transformations or supply chain transformations over the year, which you could expect from a company that's more than 100 years old now, right? And some of those or a lot of those transformations, specifically in the late 90s, were quite painful for IBM because we did tremendous amount of changes. And that's also when the thought was born of, okay, we learned a lot from those transformations we went through. And we know that a lot of other companies at some point in time will run exactly through the same pain points, right? And we said, okay, let's use our knowledge that we gained throughout the transformation and share that with other companies and client companies as well. And that's how our BPO business basically was born. And BPO in that sense is less on a pure advisory business as such, right? So we're not just getting in there and not saying just, right? Because I mean, I'm just thinking of the big consulting companies where a lot of smart people are actually working. But what BPO basically does is taking more the end-to-end approach or consult-to-operate approach. So you have basically the possibility for a client to get a consulting help from IBM side, but then also based specifically when a company say, hey, we have a shortage on knowledge, on resources, and so on, that we need help in that sense to really drive that procurement journey, that's when IBM would come in and helps those clients, but not just in the very beginning, writing concepts, creating new target operating models, and so on, but basically going the next level as well together with the client, right? I typically say, hey, we are cooking the soup together with the client, but we also jointly eating the soup together with the client, right? So basically running through the whole S2P process with the client on the longer term. So it's a real partnership, right? And what we're seeing throughout, or what I have seen throughout this time, right? I have been in that business for almost 14 years now, right? And the external client business have been working with clients from different industry in the past, moving consumer goods, automotive, airline, chemical industry, and so on, right? And what all is very exciting to see that everyone is trying to professionalize their procurement organization, right? Which is great for itself, right? And a lot of companies are already saying, hey, we want to also bring procurement closer to supply chain, as we believe, hey, all we are basically part of the same family, but we're not speaking to each other, right? That's at least what we're seeing in a lot of organizations, but bringing those more together. And then also, and that's probably where a lot of them, the conversations around orchestration, for example, comes in. What type of technology can we actually use to enhance or kind of push the journey further forward? But how do we actually make those different technologies solutions talk to each other? Right, and connect with each other, because there's always a missing piece, or quite often there's a missing piece between those solutions as well, right? And then next to technology, how can we improve processes? How can we upskill people in our organization, right? The procurement professionals of tomorrow, what kind of skill set do they actually need, and how do we get them from being a category manager to a relationship manager and great supplier manager in the future, right? Using all kinds of technology as well, but on the same time, not forgetting about relationship. So those are the kind of things that we are seeing, and what is also driving the future of procurement from our perspective.
When you come and you start working with a new client or new group, or any group in an existing client, What are the things you're looking at where you feel like this would be a great place to, you can see the before and after, say, okay, you know, this would work really well. I'm almost like looking for, you know, tips for organizations to aspire to be better. Like what do you think is the key aspects of that?
What am I looking for first, right? So first of all, what I'm actually doing is not getting lost in one specific aspect of procurement, but trying to see how does a client holistically look at procurement, right? Do they indeed get lost on, for example, the source to contract process, or are they concentrating on the P2P side only, or did they already kind of have a look at plan to strategy or category management piece of it, or do they really at the whole look at procurement, right? Because as I said, a lot of companies that I've been lately seeing is they concentrate only on parts of the whole process, right? And don't see that everything is somehow interconnected as well, right? And kind of making them aware, first of all, that you cannot only looking at one thing and thinking that the other piece I do later, or it's going to solve each for itself at some point in time. No, you have to really look at it holistically. That's something that I'm first looking at when talking to a client, right? And then from a higher level, a more horizontal level, kind of going deeper into details then as well, right? How are you running your P2P business, or how are you running the middle office or tactical buying or long tail spend management? How are you doing that? Or how do you concentrate on creating category strategy, and how are they being connected to your sourcing strategy later on, and those type of things, right? So basically coming from a higher level and then going always deeper and deeper, right? And then once again, it all needs to go back into driving the procurement journey of that company, right? That's how I typically approach it. And then, of course, just sitting down and listening to stakeholders, right? Everyone has to tell a story. There's always a reason why people are doing things or not doing things. You're absolutely 100% correct there as well. But On the other hand, this just sitting down and listening, right? Or active listening, almost using that typical, more or less typical consulting approach as well, is quite helpful to also building up a stakeholder relationship as well, right? Which are going to help you in the future changing things within the company, because it's going to be a big change, right? That's also why change management is so important in the procurement journey as well, right? Because it's a constant change and people are quite often now overwhelmed by the change, and you just have to take them on that journey, right? Take them with you and not leave them behind you.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love it. It's very practical too. I think so many times in this case and other cases, you know, people trying to improve, trying to get better without zooming out, without understanding the context and the personalities involved. It is a world of people that we live in at the end of the day. Everything else is here to serve our imaginary world of people. And if we, you know, if we don't listen into what people are struggling with, you know, we might solve the wrong thing.
I agree. And I mean, I see procurement still as a people business, right? Very much a people business. And even with AI or generative AI coming in, this fundamental piece is not changing, maybe shifting in terms of what the responsibilities of procurement professionals are. However, procurement will stay a people business in one way or the other, right? And that's what everyone needs to be aware of, right? It doesn't only mean looking at stakeholders, but at the same time, it also applies for the supplier relationship as well, right? Because you also have people sitting on the other end, maybe in the future, you're not negotiating with them anymore because you have some negotiation bots doing the actual negotiations, right? You never know. And actually, I mean, it's quite on the one hand, it's scary, but on the other hand, it's also exciting. But there will be still relationships being driven by people between companies and within the company.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, maybe a good segue to, you know, you've done, congrats on your career so far and went through the different corners of it. I always like to ask, you know, what is the best advice or a good pay forward advice that you got, you know, maybe early in your career that you find useful to share with others?
Something, I mean, it's probably odd because typically everyone says, hey, that's the greatest advice ever. And typically it's something very positive and so on. Once again, just like in the very beginning where I said, I actually found procurement where already probably different to 80% of the procurement folks. Here I'm also going to be a little bit different in the sense, and I really love that and constantly think about it, and advice that I got from one of my first mentors also within IBM was, don't be afraid of messing up, right? Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Be open to make mistakes. Be aware that you will make mistakes, because human have also once again a tendency to learn much better from mistakes rather than from only positive experience, right? And that's why I'm also saying for myself, I see making mistakes or messing up almost as something positive in the end, right? And learning from it, right? To getting better, not making that mistake again in the future, right? That's the important part, but you get so much out of it. On the other hand, you have so many stories then to tell, right? When you talk to people, not be afraid to share those experiences. That's something where I definitely say that's a very great advice that I got from one of my first mentors.
I love it. I cannot stop smiling because you know the saying, if you don't have enemies, you didn't do anything big enough. I use that concept and I literally told my son this the other week, that if you don't make mistake, it means you didn't try hard enough.
Exactly. You know? And 100% agree. And interestingly, it's also one of the questions that I typically ask when I'm looking for new people to join my team, right? And getting to know them. I mean, everyone has great stories, right? Everyone wants to tell the great stories. I'm not interested in the great stories. I want to know what is skeleton in your closet, right?
Yeah.
And what's the story that you typically do not want to share because you messed up, but it's not the story itself, but what you actually learn from it, right? What are you going to do different next time you're facing the same piece? That's what I'm interested in.
I love it. perfect way to end this conversation. I really appreciate the time and the conversation. I think is great, great advice and great learnings, you know, from your experience too. If people want to reach out, you know, geek about those things, where can they find you? Is that X or LinkedIn or where do you hang?
Yeah, so currently mostly on LinkedIn. So pretty and pretty easy to find. Besides the fact that my last name is not the easiest one to spell, but yeah, you find me quite well on LinkedIn. Also, if you want to get in touch with me as beyond LinkedIn, it's basically you can do that via email as well. It's l.schirmeister. Schirmeister is spelled S-C-H-I-R-R-M-E-I-S-T-E-R at de.ibm.com. But typically, if you just don't be afraid to reach out to me via LinkedIn. It's probably the easiest way to do it. Just get in contact with me and write me a message. I'm typically quite good in writing back. And I'm just interested to get to know people, right? And see how I can help or where we can just exchange thoughts as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to be with you and have a chat with you. I really enjoyed it. And all of the procurement and legal folks out there, it's a great conversation to have here and sharing experience.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/MBOpod. Thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on all things business operations, join the Tonkin community at tonkin.com/community.